My subject tonight is Confessing Christ. The text is Matthew 10:32. To confess is to say the same thing about something, to agree on something. You confess that something is right. In the biblical sense of the term, it is the confession of Christ as Lord, His Word as the divine revelation of His person, the Word of God. The true believer is committed to Christ and to confession of Him before men. In Matthew 10:32, the Lord Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Now that is a most solemn thought. The Lord expresses there His love and concern for the people who confess Him boldly before men. Now we're living in a generation when it doesn't cost an awful lot in America to do that. There are other countries in the world where it costs you your life to do that. And we must all recognize that sometimes that is God's will. A confession can be a testimony unto death. But in our society, there's a more sophisticated way of dealing with people who confess Christ. A sneering, a mockery, a discrimination, all kinds of things that can be done quietly and behind the back. Still, it hurts and it cuts. But nonetheless, the believer must learn how to focus his attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is important. He is the great King. And we are serving Him not just for a few years here in this realm, but for eternity. Who knows the plans and programs that He has marked out already for His people? And we can't even imagine them. But He knows. And so when we stand for Him and confess Him boldly and sing His praises, that's a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful chance to express our devotion to Him. And friends, it is just the beginning. That testimony is never going to end. Those opportunities are never going to stop. They're going to go on in the ages to come. Only Christ knows how far those testimonies will travel. But He is the worthy recipient of our praise and our testimonies of the greatness of His person and His salvation. Now in verse 32 of Matthew 10, the Lord Jesus is teaching very clearly, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Now that tells us how serious is our responsibility of confessing Christ. It is not just something that we can do or not do as the whim arises. It is the declaration of our purpose. Why are we here in this world? It is not to make money. It is not to have friends. It is not to enjoy ourselves. We are here to serve the great King. Now that is a very clear idea in Scripture. And for those who understand the Lord Jesus as their Savior and are committed to this, when we confess Christ, we are declaring the reason for our existence. That is not a few years and the local service in a certain place. It is our purpose for all eternity. We are confessing Him as our Lord and King, and we are going to serve Him as long as He exists. That is for all eternity. Only He understands what all that entails. But we, by faith, confess Him here in this realm and claim Him as our Lord and God. Now, in verse 29, He has said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" A very small coin. "And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." He's indicated a striking illustration here, and by that, the greatness of his grace. Two sparrows are very small things. Nowadays, when we think of a bird to eat, we think of a nice chicken or even a turkey, something substantial, but a sparrow? Please. I'd like a little more than that. Well, I guess that displays the greediness of our present society. In the ancient world, they were satisfied with a couple of sparrows. You really have to pick the bones there. But friends, this is something that we must take to heart. The most obscure things, little sparrows, we never think of them. God thinks of them. They can't fall on the ground, but what God notices. Now that tells us something about his care for us. For he makes clear that we are more valuable, verse 31, than many sparrows. But if he knows what's happening to the sparrows, he certainly knows what's happening to us. And he is certainly going to take care of us with far greater care and zeal than what we could imagine. So do not ever think that you, like a sparrow, can be ignored. He is not ignoring you. He is looking very carefully to your eternal well-being. And we may rest in that confidence that our God is tremendous in his power and knowledge, and he knows exactly how he wants us to serve, not just here, but for all the ages to come. And that is a comforting thought. Now, a confession in this case is a declaration of faith in Christ Jesus. He is our Lord and Savior. He is the one who died to rescue us from sin, to bring us to himself in glory, and we are devoted to him and to his worship. Now, if we so confess him, verse 32 makes very clear that he is going to confess us before his Father. We can't imagine what that will mean. But to have the Lord of heaven and earth confess us as individuals that he loves and cherishes and desires to bring into eternal fellowship with his Father. Now, that is a scene very difficult for us to grasp, but it's clearly portrayed in Scripture. To us, the confession of Christ is a small thing here in this realm, and many people have never heard our confession, but those who have are influenced by it. And the Lord responds by confessing his people before all the ranks of glorified beings in heaven. He is not afraid to claim us as his own. Now that is grace far beyond anything we could ever deserve, and certainly we could never earn. But he loves us. Now, the confession of Christ in this realm may be costly. In John chapter 9 and verse 22, we have an example of a blind man and his parents. And the parents in verse 21 confess that they don't know what healed their son, and they absolve themselves from all responsibilities. And in verse 22, the comment is made by John, "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ the Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him." Now here's an example of someone who will not confess Christ, who sidesteps the opportunity. Now, the blind man was very bold in his confession. He knew what the Lord had done, and he confessed that he was healed by the power of God that was working through the Lord Jesus Christ. But his parents were not believers, and they missed an opportunity of confession. How much did they know? Perhaps more than they said here, but they washed their hands of the situation. Friends, it is easy in the pressures of this modern wicked world to bend a little bit so that we don't stand out for Christ, to hide in the shrubbery when perhaps it ought to be well known that we stand for Christ and are His servant. Sometimes when that opportunity comes, we're a little timid about it. But we've got to remember always that those opportunities never come by chance. They're divinely ordained. And they come because they are tests of our character and our willingness to stand for the Lord here in this wicked world. Now, we can't sidestep them. One way or the other, we're going to either declare ourselves or we're going to hide. Now, friends, we have to resolve that in our hearts ahead of time and not wait to be mousetrapped by situations. There must be a heart committal to Christ in the life of every true believer, that we're on the Lord's side. People may laugh, people may scorn us. That's all right, doesn't matter. Because what matters is what the great King thinks of us. Now, friends, we must settle that for once and for all. It's not something that is negotiable in the life of the believer. It is something that should be put center stage. We belong to Him. And if people wish to sneer at us because of that, that's all right. If we're discriminated against, that's all right. But we're not going to remove Him from the central place in our lives. He belongs there. It is His by right. And we should confess boldly we belong to Him. There is no doubt about the matter, and there will be no change in the matter. We're a committed believer. Now, friends, the world doesn't like to run into people like that. Now, they think we are fanatics, that we are somehow belligerent in our religion. No, the word is faithful, not belligerent. We're not declaring war on anyone. We're declaring fidelity to Christ. We're putting Him first. And that is a normal, logical thing for someone to do to the Lord of the universe. Others may spurn Him. Others may turn away. But we are committed to Him, and we confess Him, that we belong to Him, whatever the cost of that will be. In Romans chapter 10, dropping down to verse 9, the Apostle Paul says something that is extremely important for us to understand. He speaks in verse 8 of the word that is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, this tells us the result of that confession of Christ. The result is salvation. The result is eternity in the presence of God. The result is the glory of the celestial realm, the hymns of the choirs of angels, and the eternal worship of God. The stakes are very high. Now, in this realm, it's like a small thing. But in the next realm, it will not be. It will be a tremendous thing. And we have to recognize that our faithfulness in small things, putting Christ first, speaking to that neighbor about the Lord, giving a tract to someone who needs it, small things, but they're part of our devotion to the great King. We put Him above all things. We desire to please Him. And here, oftentimes, it looks like those are forgotten things. None of them are ever forgotten. The Lord remembers. And friends, we must get used to confessing Christ. It's not something that we should be embarrassed about. Sometimes it is dangerous to confess Him. In foreign lands, it is not an easy thing. I've been in places where it's illegal to confess Christ publicly. We have to recognize that even though people understand what we're up against, they see sometimes confession of Christ or not in how we live and how we handle difficult situations. I remember one time we were going through in a section of Israel where the Mohammedans are in control, and we always stopped and prayed at different places, and the driver was a Mohammedan. And so the next day I noticed on the front of the bus there was a picture of the Dome of the Rock put in the front of the bus. The Dome of the Rock is the central place of worship for the Muslims in Jerusalem. So he was telling us all he was a Muslim, not a Christian. What we were doing he didn't like. But friends, that was not the time to stop praying. We prayed for him and all the others, and we lived the faith before them all. And before the trip was over, he, along with the guide, thanked us for our testimony and our faithfulness. He understood we weren't being belligerent, but we were Christians, and we lived it. And we prayed, and we lived the life before them, and they found nothing to complain about. Who knows what that testimony may result in? I've never seen the man since. But perhaps one day we'll see him in heaven because of that. No one knows. Friends, confessing Christ is something that is part of us because of who we are. We are sinners, saved by grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb, made children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that's everything to us. He is our King, our Savior. He is the one that we're living for. Now, there's no one else in this realm that has that worthiness. He alone deserves our allegiance. Now in verse 13, notice that universal promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There it is in black and white. You want to get to heaven? Ask the Lord Jesus to save you. You don't do that, and you will not get to heaven. It is just that clear. The Apostle Paul is declaring that Christ is the one who decides the eternal destiny of every human being. If you desire to be in those courts of gold, singing with the glorious angels, verse 13 tells you how. You call on the name of the Lord. You ask Him to save you. Ask Him to wash away your sins in His blood, and you shall be saved. Now, friends, confessing Christ is not a minor detail. It is why we are here. If there were no such reason, we would go home to glory the instant we were saved. But many of you have been saved for many years. The Lord hasn't called you home. He has called you here to be His witnesses, to be those who testify for Him, live for Him, and let others know how great a Savior you have. Now that's a sacred trust, a great blessing, needless to say. If you will turn to the Epistle to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul, in chapter 2 and verse 9, says, speaking of the service of the Lord Jesus in being obedient even to the death of the cross, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, that's absolutely universal worship. It's striking to me that the way it is phrased here, there are no exceptions. Every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, oh yes, the glorious host, the angels, that's logical. But notice, things in earth and things under the earth. All realms, angelic, demonic, shall bow the knee before him. He is Lord of all, supreme in the universe. And whether by choice and with joy, as the believers do, or under duress, the demons in hell, all the lost, shall fall down and worship Him, because He is Lord of all. He deserves it. He is King of the universe. Now, friends, we must recognize we serve a tremendous Savior, Lord of the universe, one who deserves our service, deserves our worship. And as we gather together Sunday by Sunday to sing His praises in public, it's a precious privilege. It will never be taken from us. In the ages to come, we will always be able to lift our voices and celebrate how great He is. But He is Lord of all. And all the wicked and all the evil spirits will bow before Him before He is through. He is supreme master of the universe. Friends, confessing Christ is a tremendous privilege. It is an honor. It is also a service that we can render. And what a wonderful thing that we could honor our great Lord and confess that our lives belong to Him and that He is the one who directs our path, and we are walking that path in submission to His will. That is a wonderful honor to be able to give that testimony. If we may turn to 1 John chapter 4. In chapter 4, John begins by saying, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, here is the warfare. We confess Jesus Christ as Lord of all. We confess that He is our Savior. And we're doing it before a hostile world, doing it before demons who don't like that confession at all. And oh yes, they're around. Don't think the demons are ignoring churches. They can take their seat here in this place as well. You don't know they're here. But they're here. And they would like to draw you away from what is being preached, the Word of God. They'd like to draw you into deepest darkness. But the Lord Jesus is the center of our attention. He is the one we worship. He is Lord of all. We confess Him. And the demons tremble. They know what it means better than we do. Friends, this promise that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. That includes us. We are eternal spirits. We have fleshly bodies for the time being. We will have eternal bodies one day. But we are confessing that He has come here into this wicked world to die for us, to rescue us from eternal perdition, and bring us into the presence of His Father. And yes, the victory is not in doubt. In verse 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have conquered them." Why? Because He has conquered them. He has conquered every foe. He will bring His people into His presence. No one can hinder Him. He is assured total victory. Now, friends, we confess Christ here, a precious privilege. We will always confess Him. We are His people. We stand for Him. In the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, we stand for Him. Our lives must reflect that dedication. What we are doing in this world and how we are living in this world, that must tell others the person we are devoted to. The Lord Jesus is everything. in 2 John chapter verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now here is a little bit of introspection that he introduces here. You need to look within and see whose side are you on in the issues of the day, your testimony before your friends and neighbors. Whose side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side? Are you living for Him? Does everybody know it? Are you able to stand and confront others who may have a different lifestyle and a different allegiance? But you have surrendered to Christ. You have bowed the knee to Him. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. What matters is what He thinks. And in this realm, we must settle that. Once we have made that choice, everything has to be laid on the altar. He is Lord, Lord of all. But each individual has to make that choice. The Lord Jesus is my Lord, and I will stand for Him. This is our testimony. And in our hearts, it must be that devotion that we have that will be eternal. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, if you have never made that devotional gift of yourself to God, now is the time, in the sight of God, to bow before Christ and say, "Yes, Lord, You are Lord of heaven and earth, but You are my Lord. By Thy grace, I will stand for Thee and live for Thee in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. O Lord, Thou dost see the need of every heart, and we pray that Thy Spirit will move upon those here who need to make that decision, that they might claim Thee as Lord and Savior, that by Thy grace they will stand for Thee in the midst of this wicked world, whatever the cost, and be faithful to Thee, because Thou art their Savior, Lord of heaven and earth, and my Lord." Amen.